Now presenting Kevin Rutherford.
Jesus Christ had some very important things to say in Matthew chapter 6. Part of His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ spoke concerning our goals and those things that are more important, and putting He, God, and the kingdom first. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 31. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but ye seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Putting God first. What are your goals in this life? What are the things that are most important to you in this life? Maybe it is the case that some of you have as a goal that of getting a good education. There may be others of you that may have as a goal in your life that of finding a good Christian spouse and raising a family. Maybe one of your goals is getting a good job someday and making good money. Or perhaps your goal in life right now is to plan for the time of your retirement. We each have our goals in life, don't we? But let me ask you this question. When you die, how important will it be that you have achieved these goals? And will your accomplishments count for much after you are dead? You know you will die. The Lord does not return first. Some of us may die before we have achieved any of our goals, or maybe only some of our goals, and others of us may die after we've achieved them all. But in the end, will it make a difference if we achieve these things? Consider this. Getting a good education won't save your soul. A good education is important, and education can prepare us for this life, can prepare us for work. A proper and truthful education can provide us with a knowledge that we need that would help us through this life, but it won't save your soul, not a secular education. Often the education the world gives us is full of lies anyway. Anytime we would place a secular education over an education in God's Word, we've made a mistake. We've not put God first. You see, when we study and we know God's Word, then we know that which can prepare us for eternity. We know that which can prepare us for the time that we will, in fact, die. And that's why fathers are given the admonition in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 to make sure their children are brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that's why we're told in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing the Word of God, is it important? Yes, it is. It's far more important than any secular education you and I could ever have because of this. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What's the power of God to save? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The doctrines of men won't save us. A secular education won't save us, but what will save us is a knowledge of the Word of God and obedience to it. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That faith which will save us comes from a knowledge of the Word of God. Thus, it is so very important that we know the Word of God and that we know it very, very well. We study it hard. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Getting a good secular education, nothing wrong with that, but it should never come before God. And it should never come before a good and strong knowledge of the Word of God. And here's what a good, strong knowledge of the Word of God did for the young man Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Timothy knew the Word of God from the time that he was very, very young. His mother and his grandmother taught him. What he knew was able to make him wise unto salvation. Because the Bible, you see, is all we need. It's complete. It provides us with everything we need to be spiritually complete. So parents, consider this. Sometimes as parents, we get so wrapped up in the secular education of our children, we want them to go to good schools, have a good education. That we might neglect what's far more important than that, which is an education in God's Word. And that's why it is the case when you and I as parents bring our children to Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible study. We're helping them in a way far more than we could help them if we paid their way through college. It's so important for parents to have Bible studies, devotionals in the homes for the children. Because the knowledge of the Word of God can save their souls. A secular education will not. Getting a good education can be good. But if it ever conflicts with obeying God should always come first. Consider this then, getting a good job won't save your soul, will it? Is it important that we work? Sure it is. It's very important that you and I as Christians find a job and that we work because the Bible says, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, if any will not work, neither should he. It's very important that you and I work so that we might be able to provide for our families. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, if we don't provide for our families, we're worse than an infidel, the Bible says. Very important to have a job. Very important to work, isn't it? It's very important so that we can have to give to those who are in need, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. And it's important, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, so that we can give to the church, isn't it? And give well. Getting a job is very important and should never be neglected. But serving God is more important. For it is the case, as the Apostle Paul pointed out to Timothy, that sometimes money can actually bring us down. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Getting a good job is important, but money can cause us to be lost if we don't look at it in the proper way. If we don't keep our jobs and if we don't keep money in perspective, we can lose our souls because of our jobs and because of the money. Those things which are not evil in and of themselves can become evil when they are placed first above and beyond God. Have you ever stopped and looked up to those people that are really, really rich and thought to yourselves, hey, I'd like to be like that someday. I'd like to be in their shoes. Well, if you had lived in 1923, probably some of the people then that you would have looked up to and wished you could have been in their shoes would have been people like Charles Schwab. Charles Schwab was the president of the largest steel company in 1923 and one of the richest men in America. You might have looked up to Edward Hobson, the president of the largest gas company in America. Or perhaps Roger Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange. All extremely wealthy men in 1923. Would you like to have traded places with them? Well, they're all three dead. And now that they're all three dead, we can look back on their lives and see what happened to them. Charles Schwab died a very, very poor man. Edward Hobson went insane before he died. And Roger Whitney, once president of the New York Stock Exchange, was released from prison just before his death so that he could die at home. Being wealthy is not all it's cut out to be, is it? Being wealthy ought not be our goal. Our goal in this life ought to be to serve God. And making money, having a job, should never come before our service to God. How important to these three men was their earlier success when they died? What did it mean? Didn't count for a thing, did it? Sometimes, you know, it is the case that we may even be tempted to forsake the assembly of the Lord's church in order that we might go and increase the size of our paycheck. Maybe get a little overtime here or there. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Well, the boss says, if I want to, I can come in on Sunday morning and make a little money, make some overtime. What are you going to do? Who's going to be first? The money? Your boss? Or God? God always comes first. You know, you can work hard. And you can make money, you can make a lot of money, and still serve God and still be pleasing to God. But if there ever comes a time when there's a conflict between making money and serving God must come first. Consider this also. Getting married and having children won't save your soul. Getting married is important. That's a wonderful goal. There's nothing wrong with that. Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, God wants us to do that, doesn't He? To leave father and mother and to find our spouse and cleave unto one another for life. That's what God wants. That's fine. It's good. It's only in marriage, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, that those physical acts which produce children are allowed. So there's nothing wrong with marriage. Marriage is beautiful. Marriage is wonderful. But serving God is more important. You see, God must come before family. Jesus Christ understood that there would come times when there would be family conflicts, and those family conflicts would be the result of faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ. And so He made it very plain right from the start that God will come first if there's a conflict between family and God. There are all kinds of situations, aren't there, where there could come family conflicts and a conflict between family and God. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Being a Christian takes commitment, doesn't it? It takes 100% commitment. You can't be a partial Christian and please God. You can't decide that you're going to be a Christian on Sunday morning and think that you're going to please God. You see the commitment involved? The commitment to serving God is so strong that we will even serve God above our family. If there's a conflict between family and God, God comes first. You may have a spouse that says, "Don't go to services." What are you going to do? Go to services. You may have family members that try to pull you back into the world. What are you going to do? Resist. God is first. You know, you can have a family and raise a family and do it well and do it according to God's way and please God very much. But that in and of itself won't save your soul. If there comes conflict between that and God, serve God first. Finally, consider this. Planning for your retirement. It won't save your soul. Is working for retirement and planning for retirement good and important? It certainly is. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 11, the wise man Solomon says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." And he talks about the fact that the ant will gather its food and store it up for times when there will be no food. And that's exactly what you're doing when you are planning for your retirement. You're planning for a time when you won't have that income that you have while you're working. You're planning for a time that you can provide for yourselves even though your income may not be as high. That's good. That's wise. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. We all should do that. However, if you and I decide that we're going to plan for our retirement and we don't plan with God in mind when we plan for our retirement, we're sinning. And we're doing that which is foolish. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, James says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, the Lord wills." You and I must plan for retirement with God in mind. What am I going to do for God when I'm retired? How much am I going to be able to give to God when I'm retired? God comes first, you see, even in our retirement. Let's look at an example of a man who was preparing for his retirement, but he forgot to plan with God in mind. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16, a parable of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build a greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. When you are dead, it will not matter to you one bit if you were living off of Social Security or if you had a good retirement plan. When you are dead, it won't matter to you one bit that you were able to afford to go to an expensive golf course and have a house in Florida and a house up here in Tennessee. When you're dead, it won't matter. When you're dead, you might as well be living off of Social Security before you die. There's nothing wrong with planning for our retirement, but let's plan with God in mind. What am I going to do for God? Americans don't think that way. We always think, what am I going to do for myself? And we think that way about retirement. What am I going to do for myself in retirement? How am I going to enjoy my retirement? How about what am I going to do for God? How much am I going to be able to give to God? God first, you see, always. Always plan with God in mind. If there ever comes a conflict between planning for retirement and planning with God in mind or giving to God as we should, we'll put God first in our lives. Someday there's going to be a tombstone somewhere with my name on it. It will say, Kevin V. Rutherford, born in 1967, died in whatever year. And my body is going to be lying 6 feet under. But the real me won't be there. Do you know that if the Lord does not return first, someday there will be a gravestone marker with your name on it? The day you were born and the day you died, written on there as well. And when that day comes, where will you be? Not your body, where will you be? And how important will it be to you then that you plan for retirement? And how important will it be then that you had a good education? How important will it be then that you had a great job with great benefits and good income? You really won't care in one bit, will you? Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, there Jesus Christ speaks of the rich man and Lazarus. And we see there that when they died, there was a realm of the dead, the Hadean realm to which they went. The rich man was in torment. Lazarus was in a place called paradise, Abraham's bosom. You'll be there someday. But which part of the Hadean realm will you be in? Will you be in paradise? Will you be in torment? You know, it's up to you, isn't it? It depends on who you put first in this life. If you put God first, you know where you'll be. You'll be in paradise. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Is God first in your life? If He's not, today is the day to make that the case. If you are a Christian and God is not first in your life, determine right now, from this point on, you're going to live a more dedicated life. If you're not a Christian, you're not serving God, and He's certainly not first. The way you and I begin putting God first in our lives is by becoming Christians. And how do we become Christians today in the 20th century? Exactly the same way people became Christians in the first century. They heard the Word of God, and that produced the faith. Romans 10:17. That faith which was produced by the Word of God was a faith which caused them to repent, Luke 13:3, and caused them to willingly and gladly confess their faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. And it was that faith that caused them to want to be baptized because they believed what Jesus Christ said, Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned."